Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
My eyes so red, look like they're bleeding.
Oh, no, no.
Wish I could just turn back this feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Don't slam that door, don't even walk.
Get out the way.
Be very quiet, shh, don't talk. As a matter of fact, just let me be.
Get out the way.
See, I wanna lay down and try to sleep.
I gotta hang. Oh, yeah. I gotta hang.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 31st of October, 2022, and I get a hangover. Thank you, KB, putting those words together. I got a combination of a Halloween candy and a weekend festival hangover. It was a good weekend. Little spots of rain, but lovely cool weather for all of the holiday, Halloween events, all of the festival events. I was able to attend the Art and Wine Festival this weekend. And this is my first time using the sand dollar at the festival. And it was pretty smooth. It was pretty smooth, actually. No problems at all. I had a problem letting go of the money because, you know, I'm a little Acklands-ish. But other than that, very smooth sailing. And I was a little impressed. We'll talk more about that in the coming days and weeks. But sand dollar, that's a very important conversation. And it's a conversation that we have to have collectively, and we have to practice empathy in this conversation, because in this instance, the initial benefits of the sand dollar are not necessarily for all of us, but we really need to step up and understand why implementing it is important. It was a busy, busy weekend. And then today is Halloween. Happy Halloween. And so I got a very important question for the people. Where will the candy be? Asking on behalf of some little children I know. And I know this is a difficult one, right? Like, how do you let families know which areas are going to be trick-or-treating without sort of opening your communities up to other nefarious elements in the country? But I hope that you guys who can do make candy available, enable this experience for young people and not so young people. But I know there were a lot of Halloween events over the weekend. I just don't know how many of them catered to little children and how many of them were sort of accessible to, you know, children from impoverished communities. That's important. All right, it's a Monday. It's kind of a what's in the news Monday. Let me tell you the things I want to talk about today. When does a problem become a crisis? We definitely have a crisis, but is it an immigration crisis? Crisis. Are we naming the thing correctly? And we continue talking about that. I heard snippets of Morning Blend this morning in the news. Where is Columbus? And who let Columbus leave the country without paying his bill? I hope, dear PLP, I mean, I'm not saying you'll have a track record for that, but I'm sure Columbus owes us some money. Also, 70 people to travel to climate conference. That's also something I want to touch on. And then in today's Tribune, there's a story. BPL meeting with hotels, a quote unquote listening opportunity. Bahamas Power and Light CEO Siobhan Cambridge said today's meeting with hoteliers is more of a quote listening opportunity, close quote. He added it is right in line with the company's plan to be more communicative and to discuss things with all stakeholders. Robert Sands, the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association's president, revealed last week the industry has set up a meeting with the leadership of BPL. Mr. Cambridge told the Tribune yesterday it was an opportunity to talk with them as, quote, one of our main stakeholders, close quote. They called for the meeting, so it's more of a listening opportunity, and we intend to do this with all of our stakeholders from all of the different rate classes. It's just that, you know, they kind of jumped the gun on us and they called for the meeting, he said. Okay. I read this with great concern because surely, other people have been trying to talk to the BPL for weeks and months and years. I remember clearly the new board, not this new board, it was an old new board, right? Having been appointed shortly after the dismissal of members of the old board, stating to the Chamber of Commerce and Employers Federation that we don't intend on answering questions put to the old board. But all the hotel association had to do is get up in the news and say, we are very concerned about what's going to happen next with these rates. Anyway, as a regular person, I just wish there was somebody to lobby on my behalf and on behalf of regular people the way the tourism workers lobby for tourism. The funny part about this is, why isn't the Hotel Association meeting with OICA? Why aren't you registering your concerns with IRCA? Why are you bypassing them? Have you already spoken to them? Did they tell you they have to have a meeting about it? I always tell people that. Why didn't you mention IRCA in this article? Why are you going straight to BPL? Isn't IRCA still, isn't this still under review by IRCA? I think that's what they announced is an October 11th press statement. That the proposal to increase fuel surcharge rates is still under review. And the Bahamian people, the public, will be made aware of the results. Hotel Association, did you all receive the results of that review? And thus you've decided to now engage BPL directly? Tell us regular people what's happening so we'll know what to do when it's our time to lobby for things that are important to us, like access to electricity, the most basic service, one of the most basic services. I just saw that story. It's troubling. Why would the Hotel Association have to bypass the procedure? Like, you register your complaints with IRCA, right? And I'm not sure if the consultation between IRCA and the Hotel Association is something that should be made public. I mean, everything should be made public. That would be made public. But surely the review of the government's proposal to increase the fuel surcharge is something that should be made public. It should be publicized. You should put it on television, in the newspapers, on the billboards. Anyway, let's go quickly to Columbus. Check this out, a couple of texts. Great show as usual, Miss Green. I can't believe they moved the statue and carried it to Ministry of Works. Now it will go missing and end up for sale on eBay. Great show as usual, question. No, I can't read that text, but thank you, texter. Somebody said that they were taking the statue to the Ministry of Works and they were going to install it outside the ministry. I don't think that's what's happening. But again, who let Columbus leave? Where is he being taken? And will he be repaired? Right? I think like the same way people tell us, well, this is an important story in history. And, you know, it doesn't matter that it's a negative, in parts negative story for Africans, non-Europeans. We still have to herald the moment because it is actual history. Well, I say don't repair Christopher Columbus's statue. Leave it just as it is. That's important history. We shouldn't seek to hide it or obfuscate it. We should leave the statue just as it is. Another question, will the statue be returned to Government House or another location? Maybe we should take him to the Bahamas Department of Corrections. Maybe that'll spur the much needed renovations and improvements there. Producer, let's go to this call. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Gray.
Morning, how you do?
Because fine, I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. That's the Dolphins win, but that's good.
Yes, up May?
We can talk it up on Friday.
Yes, sir.
The other game coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, quick point, I guess we beat up our head on Christopher Columbus all day. You just remember that since south to Spain, eh? Because I think it was a gift given to us, eh?
Yeah, but it wasn't given to us by Spain, though.
Huh?
The gift wasn't given to us by Spain.
Oh, it's given, but it's a recommendation from Spain. Go back into history, right?
You know, no, not sure. I think it was, in fact, there's even a question of whether that's an actual image of Christopher Columbus, right? Like, I think it's D'Artagnan, one of the Three Musketeers. But it was a part of a gift from maybe the Bahamian, from the people to, is it the governor that tried to end slavery, the abolitionists?
Aaron Green, I got an A, but not in school then. My teacher and history there. I gotta rectify that, eh?
Listen,
it's all mixed up, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of history need to be rectified around this place.
Yeah, big time. But secondly, I want the opposition to stop beating what you'll call a horse, a dead horse.
A dead horse.
A dead horse, yeah. Give me, get my culture mixed up. A dead horse on Bombo this trip to the Prime Minister trip to Bermuda.
Uh-huh.
The Prime Minister and they already declared that they pay for that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, why be the dead horse? They already paid for the trip. He saw it in the newspaper.
Well, I think it's a question of following proper procedure.
Well, the problem is, what do you want the Prime Minister to lay it? What do you want the PRP to lay their place, you know, finances on the parliament table?
I'm sure that's as a part of, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be upset if they did that. But this is the partisan back and forth.
Yeah, well, it's a partisan back and forth, but the opposition could easily get that information from the independent audit.
Or, you know, if MPs actually declared on time.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
But you think you could get it?
Yeah, my third point is this: continuing to the trip to Egypt.
COP 27.
Yeah, what is? I thought with human rights. Do they have a representative going there?
I know of a human rights activist that is going, not a part of the government's delegation at
locally,
all.
Locally?
Yeah, a local human rights activist.
Who's that?
Who's going? I'm not calling these people them name like that.
What I'm trying to say, I'm not.
I'm not
trying to play FBI. I just want to know that human rights represent me and you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if they could release it to you. Who's going so I could give more suggestion?
Do you want
me to take it to the government or my PRP gets more suggestion? Who I should take it to?
Well, listen,
since this is top FBI.
Yeah, I'm about to ask you to take it to your PLP people and get some information for me because this is very interesting. A 70-person delegation? Forget the questions about financing and all of that.
Yeah, that's a high.
That's a whole conference. When you come back.
But are they scientists and doctors going along with them or what?
Well, this is it. What I've gathered from the news, right? From the, I think, the Tribune and Our News Bahamas. Let me read from the article. The delegation includes Mr. Davis.
You're right.
Attorney General Ryan Pinder.
You need to go here.
Agriculture and Family Island Affairs Minister Clay Sweeting. And a number of other people. In another press statement, I saw Ministry of Education on the list as well, right? And so, and then it says, including a strong youth presence.
Yeah, that's important.
Right? And officials from the Department of Meteorology and Ministry of Health.
Right, that's important. I mean, the woman, Minister Tulsa, I mean, Tulsa representative, because they got to deal with climate, too.
I mean, why they have to deal with climate?
I mean,
directly. You know, like directly, because they could liaise with these other ministries.
Right. What about a National Trust representative? I mean, you represent from there.
Oh.
Because, you know, I mean, they strongly talk about protecting our environment.
Yeah. Well, listen, so let me continue to read the article. Asked about the trip's cost, she said, all those individuals that I said were going are help funded. That's what the article said.
Help funded, what I mean?
Well, I think it means they're being funded by the private sector. Let's go on. The government is only paying for its technical members. She declined, and the she is Ms. Rochelle Newbold, Mr. Davis's special advisor on climate change and environmental matters. She declined to reveal who the private sector donors were.
Yeah.
Would
the press secretary go on this time? Because he had a lot of controversy. Yeah. He began his crier.
No, man. Don't do
I
that.
Don't want to know.
I mean, trying to be serious.
I was shocked last time.
No, man, pumpkin eater. I trying to be serious. But yeah, I imagine, right? Listen. I imagine out of the 70-person delegation, for this to make sense, you need a press officer there. You don't need a press secretary, but you need a press officer there because you should have somebody who's putting together daily briefs, daily media and press briefs to send back to New Providence, send back to the Bahamas every day about what's being done. So BIS could run those stories. Relevant ministries can disseminate those circulars, right, inside their ministries and departments, and people know what's going on. And then at the end of the trip, there should be another, you pull together all of that information with a different type of briefing, and they should come back to the Bahamas and not just be given 15 to 30 minutes in the communications exercise they do every day or every other day.
Right.
But there should be a full program where they present to us what they did, what they engaged in, what they heard, what decisions were made, and the way forward for implementing the things that we decided to commit to in our daily lives and in policy when they get back.
Well, your points were clear, but shouldn't it be the BIS and all Dennis? I hope Dennis had a reporter there, bring live up there, including with the BIS.
I mean, that would, if you're going to send 70 people, two of those people should be. In fact,
one of them is Zionist reporters and Zionist technicians.
That's what I said. Report. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. But listen, I got another call.
Sure. Yeah, but we could talk about it during the week. I'd get close to it.
Yes, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you very much. Producer, let's go to this next call. One second. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I hope you didn't get your car too dirty going to qualification.
Car too dirty. I got dirty looking for Chick Chonies in the back of BNT. I didn't know that place was so huge.
Yes. It's been reserved. Mm-hmm. And behind that is Blair Estate, but we wouldn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, COP 27, 21, Copenhagen, and we go all the way back to the 80s. What is so ironic, Eric? World leaders will be flying private jets and jumbo jets for the broke ones and driving in limousines and gas-guzzling Range Rovers to go to a meeting to talk about less pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the irony. Here's the solution. We've gone to all these events speaking about global warming and flat-lying states like ours that could be destroyed and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. COP 27 should have had 71 people attending. Yours truly. You see, because the difference is, if I'm going to bust up a jet, waste a lot of gas, and go to an event, I'm going to tell the rich, light-skinned people who are in the northern part of the planet that doesn't have sun in the winter that they must send solar panels to my country to mitigate the effects of global warming. And let me show you, Aaron. Free solar panels on your house. Free solar panels on every government building. Every rooftop we got here already has cut down trees to put it there. So you don't want to go into bush and cut down trees and do a solar farm because that's killing the environment. And I would come back with a gang of solar, a whole boatload of it. And when the solar went on all the rooftops here and we didn't burn the BPL diesel and bunker steam and make all that pollution, we would be saving the planet. And in real time, each one of these homes on the internet would be reporting back to Germany, Canada, Scotland, whoever's in the northern part, and they happen to be light-skinned people, they would be seeing in real time over the internet how much carbon, how much pollution, black smoke wasn't coming out of our generators, but rather being made from their solar panels that were donated for free. They would be winning because they would get the carbon credit. We would get the free light, and the generators at BPL this Christmas would be too big for our needs.
I got you, Graham.
You see how everybody wins? But watch what happens, Aaron. After they return, let's you and I sit down and see what wasn't negotiated. And I've been saying this for a decade. I'm tired of saying it. And Perry Christie said it best. Just before election, you remember when he made that promise?
No, I mean, he made plenty promise.
He said free electricity, and everybody laughed.
Because I heard my mother's voice. You can't listen to things like that, Graham. Look here, Graham.
Yes.
I got to go.
Yes. The free, Aaron, I gone on this one.
Yeah.
The free electricity Mr. Christie was speaking about is the free electricity I just explained to you. Do you understand how deep and powerful that is, what I just told you?
Yes,
I got
you.
The white people in the north donate the solar panels to end the global warming. And they are the ones spewing the global warming stuff, right?
Yeah, but Graham, that's, you know...
Oh, it's not possible?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Whoever leaders say it's not possible, you got the wrong person leading you.
Of course it's possible. But listen, Graham, let me go.
Yeah.
And I can
finish
it up.
My friend.
I can finish it up. Here's what it is, Graham. There's so much money and debt, like, invested in BEC. Like, there's so much, like, BEC is in so much debt that they had to create a whole new company. I don't know if that's exactly why they created BPL, but it feels like that's what's happening. They create a whole new company. The government cannot allow the majority of people to transition to solar. In fact, I got to try and get me a mathematician to help me work out the percentage at which BPL will fold, right? The number of people, how many people have to... How many people have to move to solar for BPL to fold? Or how many, right? That's the, I'm trying to figure out the question, because there's too much debt tied into BPL. They got to pay back their debtors, right? So if the majority of people pull out of BPL and begin powering their own homes with solar, we have a problem and the institution will collapse, right? I don't, and that's what I mean when I say it can't happen. Not that it's impossible. All right, I got a text here. We don't need any more statues of anyone. We have evolved and there are better recognition tools today. Leave our history and stop with the cancel culture ways that is being pushed, in my opinion. I don't agree that our history should be hidden away. It's our history. Okay, first of all, you can't apply the term cancel culture to Christopher Columbus. Okay? You can't. This isn't about cancel culture. This is about rectifying history. This is about ensuring that the true history is told to the people whose lives it impacts the most. Nobody, the idea of hiding Christopher Columbus' statue or critiquing the placement of his statue or the prominence that he and the statue holds in this society, that's not cancel culture. That's a rigorous interrogation of yourself, your country, your culture. That's what that is. I know. See, here's the thing. You'd say, okay, hiding the statue is hiding our history. But that's not hiding our history. Putting the statue in a prominent place, but disrupting or refusing to allow or engage in any real conversation about the statue and why it is where it is, that's hiding history. By telling us we can't talk about things, that's hiding history. By not telling the stories, that's hiding history. Aaron, we cannot change history. It is what it is, and it is what has made us who we are. No, but we could tell the history correctly. See, you made a point right there. That's true. You can't change history. But we've been lied to so much, we are living dysfunctional, schizophrenic, and disconnected lives. Which takes me to what I also wanted to talk about today. When does a problem become a crisis? There's definitely a crisis, but is it an immigration crisis? Last week, I was accused of calling Bahamian men and Bahamian workers lazy. I did not say that. I'm not too concerned about that. Whether I said it or not, I know what I said. I guess here's what I should have said to make it clearer to those who would look for any excuse to deride. Let's not talk about laziness, because lazy is subjective. What we should focus on is motivation. Many workers in the Bahamas lack motivation, and it will be difficult to generate, evoke, and maintain any collective or individual motivation without concerted and intentional action and consistent and sustainable engagement. This is the legacy of the drug era, the hit-a-lick era. And then we could add cultural imperialism to the mix. Our generation and generations to come will have to work even harder than generations before to drive the Bahamas into the future. So I ask you, what motivates you on a daily basis? How do you keep going? What motivates you to follow the rules and why? How do we motivate people to change and moderate their behavior? How do we motivate people to step their game up, to do the right thing? See, that's the real question. How do we motivate Bahamians. And consider this. How are you going to motivate Bahamians with a minimum wage that still sits, what, under $6 an hour? It's definitely under $7 an hour. How are you going to motivate your people with a minimum wage that's less than $7 an hour in a country with the third highest cost of living in the world, who historically, for generations, because of the nature of the place where they live, have engaged in activities like wrecking and rum running and the smuggling and trafficking of things. How are you going to motivate your people to work in the face of insurmountable or insurmountable hardship? How are you going to motivate them to do things that they could never have imagined that they would have had to do? See, because it's not about laziness. It's like you would have to know how much work is actually involved to decide not to do it. Like, that's how I feel. And then I just thought to myself, no, because you could just refuse to even engage in doing the work, right? And you refuse to even figure out how much work it's going to take. But laziness is subjective. Let's focus on motivation. And how are we going to motivate people to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it? And how are we going to motivate people to step beyond that and to not stop? Because, you know, when they reach a wall and don't know what to do, they don't stop until they figure out what to do. And then they don't stop until they figure out how to do it. We have a social crisis. We have a personal, an individual, and collective community crisis where we can no longer motivate ourselves or others to do what we know we ought to do when we know we ought to do it. We could sum up all of that right there. Do we have an immigration crisis? I don't think so. First thing I'll say is I think government systems are collapsing. I'm going to stick a pin right there. Producer, let the caller know I come in right now. Text says, Aaron, who left this country under the PLP that didn't pay their bill? If you mean Phil Ruffin, check your facts before these cheap political shots. Ruffin paid his bills. Texter, I ain't called nobody name. You notice that? I ain't called nobody name. You know? Okay then. Another text. Great show. As usual, people is blame drugs and no father in the home for everything. I mean, these can be a part of the problem and not the whole problem in and of itself. A text says the statue can be reinstalled at the Harold Road dump. That's a harsh one. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A pleasant, very pleasant good morning.
Good morning, Sparky. How you do?
Miss Green and whatever they say, happy independence. If you want one chocolate or one candy, I'll bring one to you. Or one bag of ruffled potato chip. That's the best trick or treat I could do.
That's
but
a lot.
But you know, Miss Green, when you listen to the daily talk shows, the daily news events, and even when you listen to worldwide news, everything is, it's just bringing everybody's mentality to the ground. Like, everything is doom and gloom, you know. Mm-hmm. The cost of living is going up. It's going to be going up for the next 18 months. The cost of gas is going to go up. The cost of this war is this and that and the next. And everything is like, how do you motivate when you try to move and you're almost like in fear to leave your own home because you could be a subject of just going out innocently to, just for example, just a fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
And in the days where you just, I say, Miss Green, I'm treating you to lunch with some cow salad and fish fry. Meet me by pool place. And we sit there, here comes some idiot out of nowhere looking for what girlfriend or what fella with an AK-47 to start spraying up the place. And you and I just sit there with a coke salad innocently, and mm-hmm. that's the end of Miss Green and Sparky.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to leave your house in the evening to go to the movies, to go for a drive with a loved one or a friend, or even going out with your dog.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't know when three fellas want your car to pull you off the side of the road, give me a car. With
yeah.
guns blazing in your face, you ain't got no choice but to give him the keys and give him the car.
Yeah.
And these days, they just taking your keys and your car, they can shoot you too.
No, man.
Yeah, because they don't want you to be no witness as to who took their car.
They can catch themselves in
a minute. In the middle of the day, on Montrose Avenue, big daylight, 3-4 big grown husky men walking into St. Ives Lock jewelry place. With cameras blazing all over the place. Robbing the store like ain't nothing happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get it.
But the thing is, what is so scary? We in a big country like United States where you could go across the border from one city to the next or one state to the next. You only on a little island 21x7.
Yeah.
Nowhere to run.
Thank
no
you, Sparky.
Boat to jump on. And, you know, this going on in this little country, when you and I were youngsters growing up, this was unheard of.
Things have definitely changed, but thank you very much, Sparky.
Yes.
Thank you for your contribution. Absolutely. And lots of people felt like that. After the last two weeks I had, I canceled on a lot of plans going out, right? And those are direct threats towards me. I appreciate how people feel and older people feel about being in their communities, right? There's an uncertainty about it. And this is another question, right? So do we have an immigration crisis? I don't know, but I sure we got a crime crisis. People using Montague Ramp and Beach, please be careful, particularly the beach side. Be careful. Minimize, reduce the number of items you take on the beach with you. Don't take extra things on the beach with you. Do not store unnecessary items in your vehicle when you are on the beach. But here's another thing. If you are driving through the beach compound, past the beach, keep your eyes open, please. Be a part of the solution. If you see something, blow your horn, blast your horn, and call 911. Please. We're definitely experiencing a crime crisis. Producer, let's take this call, and then we got to go to a break. Let's go to a break. Good morning, caller. You on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there?
If you'd like to make a...
Man, caller, that was only 2 seconds. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. I didn't realize you didn't have any time. My apologies. All right, producer, let me know when it's time to go to a break. Because I think we definitely have a crime crisis. When we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we have an immigration crisis, but I know we got a systems failure crisis. We got a housing crisis, we got a social crisis, we got a food security crisis. We're going to talk about it. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. I'll be right back.
The Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
They say he's been dead a long time. Come, let us go to the sepulchre. What you put me out here for? I'm scared. Bring me to nobody's grave. Careful now, watch how you open the coffin now. He been dead 300 years. Wait, look. You know meat on his bone, I can see straight through me. Wait, see, he winking one eye. He living, let's run.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Before we went to the break, I'll say it again. I don't think we have an immigration crisis. I think we have to ask the question, are our government systems collapsing? I got a text here that says, we want to be careful what we say on the radio. We depend heavily on persons coming here to enjoy themselves. I depend heavily on being here because I'm Bahamian and this is the only place I could be. And we have to find balance. We got to strike balance between those two things. You know, I often ask, can you see the plantation through the palm trees? I see you, caller. Right? Come in. All right, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, ma'am. Thank you. No problem. Good, thank you.
Sorry, I apologize.
That's all right. That's three chocolates.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Listen, Mr. Green. He said earlier, reiterate your point, and you said you have to keep the fine support mediate on the average man's behalf. That is a very important point that you made earlier, and I didn't want to just run over it because that is so important. Because think about that. I remember a similar instance like that, the value-added tax, and another instance where a community, a gated community, right, the government, and got some of the rules, some of the legislation kind of twisted in their favor almost. And so these incidents are, I try to draw your attention at these incidents or these incidents. It's not overnight. It's been going on a while now. And hello, Grant.
Yeah, I'm here. Continue.
Yeah, and it's been going on a while now. And my sense that unless we as humans use technology, which is not affected by inside our country, the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is actually a gateway to globalization and the global world, and we as humans have tried to be global citizens instead of just citizens of the Bahamas, because the world is moving away from that now. And why I say that is that we as the people, we go in these agencies and go in these things to actually get furniture, this and that. So why can't we go inside of a to get our own soul of McConnell's announcement about to start off with some of the the stuff that we need and then build on that. If we do not do that, then our voices would not be heard. Because we gotta hit these folks in their pocket. That's the only way they understand. That is the reason why they listen to these folks we were just talking to, because whoever holds the bull, whoever holds the bull
said the rules.
This means we gotta understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And we as the people that are boycotting things and farmers for our voices to be heard. We have to come together as a community. That's the only way you can change.
Absolutely. But and that's it right there. Listen, it's a simple matter of pooling our resources and directing them where we want.
Man, I want to know you're talking to a gentleman who been as far as China to actually study solar energy for the last 8-9 years. I am one of the only Bahamians who was there to a energy conference, which was held by Jerry Butler.
But listen,
it's a Bahamian who owned the IDB office inside. I don't think he's no longer there. He holds one of the largest global energy 6 to 7 years. Me, Curly, and a couple others, and one other there who was from P. It was me at the time. And you know, the thing about it is that all of these substations that they have in these different communities, if they would turn them into smart grids, each Bahamian household only need $3,000 for the panels on their rooftop.
I got you, but listen.
To get paid instead of having these $400 or $500 like this.
Call up.
Do you know, Mr.
Hold on, hold on. Call up.
These meters.
Call up. Give me a second. I got to go. I'm out of time. I got to close off the show. I need you to do me a favor. Text me at 428-0719. That's 428-0719. I got to talk to you. You need more than just 3 minutes at the end of my show. 428-0719. I want to thank you very much, caller. I'm sorry I had to cut you off. I got a text here that says, what motivates me is I need to eat and I need shelter, amongst other things, so I need to work. That's all the motivation one needs. Well-off people that say that. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Talks of socialism will not sustain any mindset change. We still have to encourage persons to do the personal education work so that they can keep up with life and the cost of living. Another text, our government systems are collapsing because of the illegal migration, because of the treaties we have to provide, humane social services, health and education, etc. These things take taxpayers' money, right? So it's all related, accepted or not. Dear texter, a lot of migrants, documented and undocumented, pay taxes. They pay a lot of taxes. They pay virtually the same amount of taxes as you do. Virtually the same amount of taxes that you do. I do not think that our systems are collapsing because of the illegal migration. I think our systems are collapsing because the civil service lacks motivation at various levels in various ways. And most importantly, at the very top. At the very, very top. But let's talk about it. See, while we don't restrict inter-island travel migration, why aren't we monitoring and tracking internal migration? Why aren't we in an archipelago, the largest archipelago in the hemisphere or in the region at the very least, and we sitting here complaining about migration every day, but the government has no monitoring policy, protocol. Given the large number of lives lost in Dorian, the post-storm recovery policies implemented, and the peculiar labor migration dynamics of Abaco, why weren't we monitoring migration to and from the island? Why don't we have more boats patrolling the southern borders? Wouldn't this complement our supposed anti-poaching strategies in place? And is it that the U.S. is unwilling to assist in patrolling waters for migrants? Why don't we actually have a plan that is viable? The migration itself isn't destroying the government systems. The lack of motivation is destroying the government systems. And a part of that is due to the trust deficit developed by generations of politicians and political culture gone awry and unchecked. See, just before we go, I can continue this conversation. We have a housing crisis, and you know how I know we have a housing crisis? It's not because people are sleeping in their cars and being run off of Crown Land, you know, because they're scrapping for some place to live. It's because Old Fort Bay and Spanish Wells say we're having a housing crisis. That's how I know. That's the only way to know. It's when the very rich people say it's a crisis. Then you know it's a crisis. See, we're having a food security crisis as well. I ain't sure if it's an immigration crisis. I know we're having a food security crisis, because we're not even asking the important questions. Are food stores essential services? First question. Second question. Are food stores concerned about making a profit or breaking even? You concerned about decreasing profit margins or not being able to make your bottom line? And ain't nobody even asked, are feminine hygiene and sanitary products on the list for price control items? You put it on the list yet? You seen the price of these things that the vast majority of women need regularly? See, we got crises, buddy. I just don't know if it's an immigration crisis. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Last text. Where's your verified information, Aaron Ware? There ain't none. That's our problem today. No verified info. Dear texter, you telling me I need to find a white paper and a blue paper and a green paper to verify to you that migrants in the country pay tax when they go to the food store, when they buy items, when they put gas in the car? That's what you asking me, texter? Anyway, I gotta go. I gotta go, people. We all out of time. I gotta head to Mackey Street because somebody announced that they were gonna have a protest to demand the removal of the party chairman, Dwayne Sands. I gotta go find out what's happening. You guys, it's been a great day. I hope you all had a great weekend. Have a great start to this week. Make sure you buy some candy and put it out for the little children and the not so little children. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
Let's go to the sepulchre. What you putting me out here for? I'm scared. Bring me to nobody's grave. Careful now. Watch how you open the coffin now. He been dead 300 years. Wait. Look. You know me on the boom. You know me on the boom.